Let us pray. Father, we acknowledge that you are a gracious God and that you're here among us and that you desire to bless us and renew us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we pray that we would have open hearts to receive all that you have for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I don't know of anyone who is not busy. I don't know of anyone who is not busy. In fact, I find myself, whenever people ask, how are you doing, I'll always say, oh, I'm pretty good, but I'm really busy. And I think that that's true of probably of most of us. We're all incredibly busy. In fact, to be busy means that we're important. And the busier we are, the more important we are. It's a sort of merit badge, or it's a status symbol to be busy. And the busier we are, the more we're able to accomplish and to get done. And behind this frantic pace that we all live in is the idea that achievement leads to approval. And so if we want approval, we need to achieve more and more and more and be busier and busier and busier. And all of that leads, hopefully, to approval. And then translate that into spiritual understandings and spiritual language. And we get this picture of the spiritual life. You need to climb this ladder and make advances in the spiritual life more and more. And you need to do more, and you need to accomplish more, and you need to pray more, and you need to give more, and you need to do the things that are important in order to get approval. You need to keep the commandments well so that God looks on you and says, well done, good and faithful servants. And you need to do more and try harder. And the end result is simply weariness. The end result of all the busyness of our lives combined with the spiritual heaviness and busyness of all the expectations that we've acquired over the years is simply heaviness. It's weariness, and it goes deep in us. And I'm wondering if we would even acknowledge it, this weariness of soul. How we're insecure about God's approval, so we have to do more. And I want to tell you that that's not Christianity at all, this busyness, this works orientation, this doing more and trying harder. It's not Christianity at all. The heavy burden that we take on is enormous. It's all of these commandments and the heaviness that that is to us in keeping them. And then Jesus comes along and he adds motive to the commandments. He says, not only do I don't want you to kill, but I don't even want you to feel bad or negative about your neighbor. And that becomes heavy. Who among us can uphold that standard? And added to that, the self-imposed expectations of what it means to be a Christian that we've acquired over the years. You've got to have a quiet time, and you've got to do and perform and do all these certain things in order to get God's approval. And added to that, the guilt and the shame that we experience because we don't live up to the expectations. And we can't live up to those expectations. They're impossible. And so all of that, all of the busyness of our lives screams for relief. And that's what Jesus gives us in the gospel lesson today. No wonder we hear the summary of the law Sunday by Sunday. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then immediately following that, we hear, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The pressures of performance exposes our restless souls. The pressures of this performance-oriented world and society and churches exposes our restless souls. It shows us our need for rest and not just a temporary vacation up in the mountains, but rest, soul rest, the rest that comes with a satisfaction with Jesus' words, "It is done, it's finished, I've accomplished what you need for your salvation." The gospel lesson today, in effect, Jesus is saying, "I'm the only one who can give you what you need." Jesus is saying, "I'm the only one who has this kind of rest to give you." The context is really clear. Jesus is traveling around, and in this group of people that's traveling with him, there are a bunch of Pharisees. We know that because the next story in Matthew is Jesus has this encounter, this debate with the Pharisees, who catch his disciples gathering up food on the Sabbath. And so he has this little argument with the disciples in the next chapter. And so the context is that he's talking to a number of people, including Pharisees. And we know the Pharisees had this habit of binding up heavy bondages, heavy burdens that are hard to carry, according to Matthew chapter 23, and then putting them on the shoulders of the people. That's what the Pharisees did. They bound up heavy loads and they put them on the shoulders of the people. It's the burden of religion. It's spiritual athleticism. It takes a lot of forms, including the do more and try harder spirituality that we sometimes hear and acquire and assume. It's a heavy burden. It's very heavy. Rankin Wilburn, in his new book, paints a picture of this. He says, imagine that you're on a sailboat and you go to the front of this sailboat, and someone from behind you says, "Okay, now blow." And there you are, blowing into the sail that is just limp and it's draped and it's drooping and it's just hanging there. And someone behind you is saying, "Blow harder, blow." There's so many oughts and shoulds and do mores and no-nos and the guilt and shame that comes with all of that, that the end result is weariness. And so Jesus says in this gospel, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He doesn't say, "Come and I'll give you another set of rules and regulations that you need to obey." And he doesn't say, "Come and I'll give you a way of life or a new paradigm for living your life. And if you'll just do that, then God will be pleased with you." He says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Coming to Jesus is a matter of getting the rest that our soul longs for and desires. In Christ is our rest. And so Psalm 62 says, "My soul finds rest in God alone." Nothing else, in God alone. He is our rest. It's built into his character, this rest, this soul rest. 6 days of creation, he speaks the word and everything comes into being from nothing. And so he works for 6 days to bring everything into being. And then on the seventh day, as you know, he rests. It's a part of his character. It's who he is. And then he led the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt into the land of promise eventually, but 40 years in the wilderness. And they get into the wilderness, and their life is still very hard. It's still difficult. So what's the difference between this new life in the wilderness? Well, they have the Ten Commandments now. God gave the Israelites from Sinai the commandments. Fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. And so at least the Israelites in the wilderness have 6 days of work, but then the seventh day they're able to enter into the rest that's established in creation by God's very nature and character. And then we see Jesus in his own life and rhythm, how he goes from ministry into rest and ministry into rest. The sixth chapter of Mark is so clear. He in effect says, I've got to get away from these people. They're driving me nuts, these crowds. I got to get away and have some quiet, some peace, some alone time with God. And that's his life. He goes from prayer into activity and prayer into ministry. It's his very nature to find rest. Even the Son of God, even the Creator of the world, it's built into the nature of who God is. And then at the last of Jesus' life, we hear how the disciples are looking on after 40 days after the resurrection, and as they look on, he's on a mountain and he ascends into heaven. And it never occurred to me before recently that he ascends in order to sit at the right hand of the Father, where he makes intercession for us. But he sits, the posture of it is finished. The work that the Father has given me is now done, and I can rest. I can sit. It's the posture of rest. Entering into God and God entering into us is what it means to be a Christian. Entering into God and Him entering into us is the most important thing we could ever do. And when we enter into God, we enter into His rest. It doesn't mean that we live there. It means that we can. It doesn't mean that we are always there in a position of rest and live our lives out of that rest, but it means that we can. More and more, it can be a part of our life, this rest that God has given us. It's part of His character. And by us being in Him and Him being in us, it can become part of us. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me and I will give you rest. And then he goes on to say, take my yoke on you. And that presumes, doesn't it? Take my yoke. It's the wooden thing that connects oxen together. Take my yoke upon you, he says. It presumes that we have other yokes, that we're yoked already with something else. What is it that we're yoked to? I mean, we're yoked to something that keeps us in bondage to whatever we're yoked to. It could be our work or our ambitions or even such good things as our children or our parents or whatever it is that we're yoked to. He says to us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find the most important thing imaginable, and that's rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. You would think that if this is a key idea of the scriptures, that this would be the way that Jesus lived and died. And many of you have seen people who have died with this kind of peace and resolve and settledness and rest. And I've seen people die like that as well. And that's the way I'd like to be when I die. I'd like to have that kind of rest. But it wasn't the way Jesus died. Not at all. Jesus died a very frenetic, wearisome death. Think about it for a minute. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he shed blood drops of anguish. And he begged his Father, take this away from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And on the cross that he carried through the streets of Jerusalem to Golgotha, not a particularly good picture of rest there. And then on the cross, it's anguish, not rest. It's pain and yelling out and not rest particularly. And when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's expressing this cosmic restlessness that he's taken on himself. This cosmic restlessness that has to do with now he's separated from the Father because he has become sin so that we might have rest. In the midst of the frenetic pace, the busyness of our lives, remember today and be comforted today of these words. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.